Psalm 39, reading verse 3. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. This morning, I wish to take you on a journey in memory lane, in your memory. Can you recall in time or times past the drawing near of the Lord to you? As you experienced his presence through the contemplation of his word, and your heart was touched, when truth stood out prominently before you, kindling conviction in your heart, illuminating your life, warming your heart, burning within you. Do you know such an experience of the past? Such as the disciples, as they walked on the road to Emmaus with Jesus, not knowing it was him. Recall their experience. They had been bitterly disappointed. Jesus, the one that they looked to, had been slain on the cross. They thought that was the end. Miserable. Walking along, moosing along, miserable. And Jesus was talking to them. If you turn there to Luke 24, and what was he saying to them? Luke chapter 24, verse 25 onwards, where he is speaking to them after they unloaded their burdened heart to him. He said unto them, verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When the disciples finally realized who he was, we skip that bit and we come to verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Do you know that experience? As the word of God was unfolding to your appreciation and it burned within you like the disciples, as the truth from Moses through the prophets is made livingly meaningful to us. Or like the psalmist, as we read in our scripture reading, I mused and the fire burned. I want to read that from Councils to on Sabbath School work, where this is referred to by the spirit of prophecy. It's Councils on Sabbath School work on page 17. And there in paragraph 2, it says, the word of God spoken to the heart has an animating power. And then referring to this quote that that was quoted there, one of the prophets of God exclaims, "While I was musing, the fire burned." If Christians would earnestly search the scriptures, more hearts would burn with the vivid truths therein revealed. Their hopes would brighten with the precious promises strewn like pearls all through the sacred writings. That's what Jesus just unveiled to them there, and that's why their hearts burned, you see. In contemplating the history of the patriarchs, the prophets, the men who loved and feared God and walked with him, hearts will glow with the spirit which animated these worthies. As the mind dwells upon the virtues and piety of holy men of old, the spirit which inspired them will kindle a flame of love and holy fervor in the hearts of those who would be like them in character. Do you know that experience? Have you had that experience? Those memories where it has been glowing in your heart as you identified with those who were before us and the way Jesus unveils it all to us in his holy word. Or there was another. If you come there to Jeremiah, can you recall this in your experience? Jeremiah chapter 20, reading there verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 20, and reading there verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, because he was going through terrible consequences because he was making mention and teaching them, the Israelites, what God was telling them. He said, nor speak any more in his name. He determined he wasn't going to do it, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Have you ever been through an experience where something was burning in your heart and you had to express it? You couldn't hold it back, whatever the consequences. This phenomenon of a fire in the heart is symbolized in the sanctuary service. There were two altars, the one in the court and the one in the first apartment, the altar of incense. They had fire burning in there. And we know very well that our body is declared to be the temple of the living God. In our hearts, there are altars. The altar of incense in our hearts that burns in prayerful communication with heaven. The Holy Spirit is in our hearts, praying and witnessing in our hearts to heaven. How was the sanctuary fire burning on the altars kindled? How was it kindled? Sister White gives the answer here in Signs of the Times, February 17, 1888, paragraph 7. The Lord had kindled a sacred fire. The Lord had kindled that sacred fire from which the priests were to take coals for the burning of incense before the Lord. And that scripture in Leviticus 16, 12 and 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And so has it been in our hearts that a fire has been kindled? Kindled by God. A fire kindled in our hearts. There's a reference to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And there again, I'm sure that each one of us here can testify of this wonderful light burning in our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When Jesus is illuminated in our hearts, like the disciples, then flames of glory envelop our soul. Jesus is illuminating in our hearts. We know that experience. We can recall memories of this. And here I want to read from Testimony Volume 2. Manuscript Releases, Volume 2. Manuscript Releases, Volume 2, reading there from page 45, paragraph 3. It says, the most powerful preaching of the word will avail nothing unless the Spirit teaches and enlightens those who hear. Unless the Spirit works with and through the human agents, souls will not be saved. It is God that causes the light to shine in the hearts of men. The Spirit is constantly showing to the soul glimpses of the things of God. A divine presence seems to hover near, and then if the mind responds, if the door of the heart is opened, Jesus abides with the human agent. The Spirit's energy is working in the heart and leading the inclination of the will to Jesus by living faith and complete dependence of divine power to will and to do of his pleasure. The Spirit takes the things of God just as fast as the soul resolves and acts in accordance with the light revealed. And then it says in that paragraph 3, which I didn't read, I read the other two, it says, the true altar, I'll start again, the holy fire from God, the holy fire from God is to be used with our offerings. The true altar is Christ. The fire, the true fire is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to inspire, to teach, to lead, and to guide men and make them safe counselors. So, the kindling of the fire from God in the earthly sanctuary is a picture of the kindling of the truth of Jesus Christ in our heart. He is the one that kindles that fire. It's kindled by God. And as we reflect upon those moments in our past where we have felt that kindling, to me, this is so precious, because when I was conscious that this is the kindling of the Lord in my heart even went out more fully to the Lord, because, wow, you are so close to me. And this fire shall never go out, he says. And why I called upon your memory, you can speak maybe of something that has happened in the past in your life. But is there a reality that this fire that you have had in the past is dimmed or quenched by circumstances? We forget, and we get distracted, and Satan works to overburden us with negativities around us, and by satanic interference, that fire appears to be quenched. And all that's left is a little memory of the smoking flax. A little bit of smoke still going. Just a little bit of something that I do remember that warms my heart, but it's only just a smoking flax. Well, let's read something that is a promise from God. Whatever our position is, wherever we are now, in contrast to what we may have had in the past. Isaiah chapter 42, reading there verse 3. This is speaking of the prophecy of Jesus, and this is the promise. Isaiah 42, reading verse 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. He shall not fail or be discouraged. A smoking flax. If there's all that is left of the burning in our hearts, with a little smoking flax left, what is written here according to God's wonderful promise, that that smoking flax that has once been burning strong under the kindling of God, he will not quench that. He will fan it back to life again. And there I read from Testimony Volume 2, page 296 in paragraph 1, where Sister White is writing to this person, and she says here that you may commune with God. This is paragraph 1. It says, you may have the love of God burning upon the altar of your heart as you once felt. She's writing to this discouraged man. You've once felt it. And she says, you may have the love of God burning upon the altar of your heart as you once felt it. You may commune with God as you have done in times past. If you will make a clean track behind you, you may again experience the riches of his grace, and your countenance again express his love. So obviously he was somebody who in the memory remembers that, and Sister White is fanning that alive again under the inspiration. And this is speaking to each one of us this morning. That the life of the energy of the fire that has once thrilled my soul but has been quenched by circumstances may be fanned to life again. We may again enjoy that beautiful experience. It can come back to us. Reading from Courage and Conflict, page 309, paragraph 2, where it says, "Here is a person. Here is such a person. Mary. Mary had been looked upon as a great sinner. But Christ knew the circumstances that had shaped her life. He might have extinguished every spark of hope in her soul. But he did not. It was he who had lifted her from despair and ruin. Seven times she had heard his rebuke of the demons that controlled her heart and mind. She had heard his strong cries to the Father in her behalf. She knew how offensive is sin to his unsullied purity, and in his strength she had overcome." Mary, a spark left, was not quenched. And in paragraph 4, I continue. Jesus knows the circumstances of every soul. You may say, "I'm sinful, very sinful." You may be. But the worse you are, the more you need Jesus. He turns no weeping, contrite one away. He does not tell to any all that he might reveal, but he bids every trembling soul take courage. Freely will he pardon all who come to him for forgiveness and restoration. He is today standing at the altar of incense, presenting before God the prayers of those who desire his help. The souls that turn to him for refuge, Jesus lifts above the accusing and the strife of tongues. No man or evil angel can impeach these souls. Christ unites them to his own divine human nature. That's what our whole study of the Sabbath School lesson is about. Christ unites them to his own divine human nature. They stand beside the great sin bearer in the light proceeding from the throne of God. Doesn't that do something to you? No matter what has happened, no matter how much I might have lost this beautiful burning in my heart because of all these overbearing things in my life, I can have that light fanned into glorious burning again. The altar can light again. Christ is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. And why should I be left without that kindling? The fire that God has kindled is never to go out. It may be smoldering. It may not be a flame anymore, but he can fan it back into life and flame again. What we must be careful of, because this is what the title of our sermon is about, don't let the fire go out. Keep your fire burning. It is that many people on this planet, often, when they feel the lack of that fire burning within them that is never to go out, they permit the enemy to quench it They permit the enemy to quench it, like Nadab and Abihu. Remember them, those two sons of Aaron? What did they do? They took strange fire. And this is the danger of every human being, that when there is a downer in our experience, we don't turn to the fire that God has ignited, we turn to strange fire to keep us aloft. Here is the case of such people. Here is the case of such people chronicled in Isaiah 50, verses 7 to 11. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 7 to 11. For the Lord will, God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that condemned me? Lo, they shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand, and you shall lie down in sorrow. So there was the language of someone who was going to depend on the Lord for that fire, but there are those that kindle a fire, that compass themselves about with sparks, that walk in the light of their own fire and in the sparks that they have kindled. Strange fire. And those people will lie down in sorrow. There won't be a recovery. We don't want to do what Nadab and Abihu did. And I want to read here just such a meditation through the spirit of prophecy, that this strange fire versus the correct one is compared here. It says in paragraph 5, it says, there is a marked contrast. There is a marked contrast between the strange fire kindled by selfish human efforts and the sacred fire of God's own kindling. There's a marked contrast. The one bears the decided imprint of humanity. Its fruits testifies to the character of the tree. By their fruits you shall know them. The souls that fix their attention on the fountain of truth and wisdom, who go straight to the source of true wisdom, will not be disappointed. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Any man for his lack of knowledge, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. To those who thus seek, it shall be given. The fire will be rekindled. The little smoking flax will come alive, because the contrast of that which God kindles versus that which man kindles is so vastly different that it leaves us bereft of hope at the end. We know this from our past experience, and so we are comforted to know that if we open our hearts to the truths that we have experienced the joy of the Lord in, which the disciples had when Jesus was with them. But remember what happened after they were so bitterly disappointed? He then had to rekindle the fire with greater fervency, and he left them, he went to heaven, and they were there. He told them to wait, and he would send fire, the Holy Spirit. And as they were praying, and as they were earnestly seeking for that holy fire, what happened? Flames came upon their heads, and they went forward burning with a message. And so the church of God on earth was launched with the fire that Jesus kindled from the heavenly sanctuary when he lit the light, the seven golden candlesticks. And so there is introduced here another dimension, because the disciples were now lit and they went forth as God's church, as God's ministers. And who were the people whose heart was kindled? But those who placed themselves under the ministry of these disciples. The others walked away. That's why the Jewish nation was destroyed. They lay down in sorrow. They were mixing their own fire, kindling their own fire instead of the fire that came. They rejected the fire that God kindled. And so, where must we be to keep my fire burning? Where must we be? Where the ministers present fire from God. We have an experience here in Isaiah chapter 6, because Isaiah went forward, ignited from the altar of heaven, because as he was looking into the heavenly sanctuary, what does he utter? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. His heart was burning now. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. The coals from the heavenly altar touched this man's mouth. He saw the fire of the heavenly glory, and he was overwhelmed. And the fiery coal touched his lips. Then he could go, sent by God. And it is those who are under the ministry of those who are sent from God, because they themselves have been purged from their sins. They themselves can feel the terrible enormity of their undone condition and are crying out, woe is me. And as they experience God's amazing goodness in touching them with the fire of God's love, they can go forward and kindle the altars of hearts that might be just smouldering. I read that from Acts of the Apostles, page 328, paragraph 4. It says, "A true minister does the work of the master. He feels the importance of his work, realizing that he sustains to the church and to the world a relation similar to that which Christ sustained." Isn't that interesting? A true minister senses this. He works untiringly to lead sinners to a nobler, higher life, that they may obtain the reward of the overcomer. His lips are touched with a live coal from the altar, and he uplifts Jesus as the sinner's only hope. Those who hear him know that he has drawn near to God in fervent, effectual prayer. Those that hear him know this. The Holy Spirit has rested upon him. His soul has felt the vital heavenly fire. And he is able to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Power is given him to tear down the strongholds of Satan. Hearts are broken by his presentation of the love of God, and many are led to inquire, "What must I do to be saved?" Isn't that what they said to the disciples? What must we do to be saved? So it is necessary to be under the ministry of those who themselves have had their hearts burning with the fire from on high. I read this other statement from Lift Him Up, page 357, paragraph 2-4. The teaching of Christ was the expression of an inwrought conviction and experience. And those who learn of him become teachers after the divine order. There are teachers on earth who are under the divine order. The word of God spoken by one who is himself sanctified through it has a life-giving power that makes it attractive to the hearers and convicts them that it is a living reality. When one has received the truth in the love of it, he will make this manifest in the persuasion of his manner and the tones of his voice. He makes known that which he himself has heard, seen and handled of the word of life, that others may have fellowship with him through the knowledge of Christ. His testimony from lips touched with a live coal from the altar is truth to the receptive heart and works sanctification upon the character. And he who seeks to give light to others will himself be blessed. There shall be showers of blessing. That was Lift Him Up, page 187. So it is possible for us to discern where the strange fire is used in the church. Which church even God's professed people, we can tell whether there is strange fire or the fire from heaven. Where error is being taught, human ideas they teach for commandments, the doctrines of men, that's strange fire. But those that still teach the correction but not the spirit of it, how can you tell that they are using strange fire? And here I want to read from Testimony to Ministers. We can discern where the strange fire is being kindled. Testimony to Ministers, page 357. Because when we look at Nadab and Abihu, they were priests of the Church of God at that time, but they were using strange fire. Here it is. It says here, he will represent the sacredness of the work. He will magnify the truth and will ever present before men and angels the holy perfume of the character of Christ. This is the sacred fire of God's own kindling. What is it? Magnifying the truth. Presenting before men and angels the holy perfume of the character of Christ. This is the sacred fire of God's own kindling. Anything aside from this is strange fire, abhorrent to God. And the more offensive as one's position in the work involves larger responsibilities. I have a message from God to the sinners in Zion, the sinners in the church, the ones whom Christ addressed, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that you are ready to die, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. You need to offer always the sacred fire, for then Christ works, his love, his mercy, his righteousness will ascend before God as a cloud of holy, fragrant incense, holy and acceptable. Now you see the contrast here, now notice. But strange fire has been offered in the use of, now follow carefully, this is strange fire, in the use of harsh words, in self-importance, in self-exaltation, in self-righteousness, in arbitrary authority, in domineering, in oppression, in restricting the liberty of God's people, binding them about by your plans and rules, which God has not framed, neither have they come into his mind. All these things are strange fire, acknowledged by God, unacknowledged by God, and are a continual misrepresentation of his character. So where do we want to be? To have our hearts kindled by the fire from above, we cannot be under this kind of ministry. We cannot be under the ministry of falsehoods being taught, teachings for commandments, doctrines, the commandments of men. We cannot be there, but we cannot either be there where this kind of strange fire is burning. What was that? Arbitrary authority, domineering, oppression, restricting the liberty of God's people, binding them about by your own plans and rules which God has not framed, neither have they come into his mind. All these things are strange fire. So yes, the word of God comes to all of us for us to recognize the fire that is kindled in our hearts and to not let this fire be put out. Keep it burning by staying where it becomes rekindled again and again. I hope and pray that we understand what God is saying to us here today. May God indeed restore the fire, rekindle it as he did in Mary, as he did in these souls that Sister White is writing to, that you have once enjoyed the fire burning in your heart upon your heart's altar. You may continue to have it. Don't let it be quenched. Keep the fire burning. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.